football on off the ball.
Cleared football ultra under Mourinho during the classical wars when it was Mourinho versus Guardiola. There were few, if any, players who were more belligerent, more committed to the Mourinho cause than Arbeloa.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome along to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, the League of Ireland signs up for 3 more years with Off the Ball. Pep Guardiola vents his frustrations at VAR. Manchester United's new boss Michael Carrick says there's still a lot to fight for this season, and the pairing for the Africa Cup of Nations final will be decided today. First, Off the Ball and the League of Ireland have announced a new 3-year deal which will bring the number of live national radio commentary games to 33 across the new 2026 SSE Airtricity Men's Premier Division season. Off the Ball covered live games on Friday night for the first time last season. The new agreement brings even more national radio coverage than ever before for the League of Ireland. LOI Late Night on X Spaces and the LOI podcast, which is free to air each match week, will continue as normal. And alongside the live League of Ireland matches, Off the Ball will also broadcast games from the 2026 Men's and Women's FAI Cups. The new season kicks off on Friday the 6th of February. Defending champions Shamrock Rovers play last season's First Division champions Dundalk at Tallaght Stadium, and it's a game you'll be able to hear on Off the Ball. Now, Manchester City are in full control of their League Cup semi-final against Newcastle. Goals from Antoine Semenyo and Ryan Cherki gave City a 2-0 win over the holders in the first leg at St James's Park. Boss Pep Guardiola was happy his team got the win, even though they weren't at their best.
We care about team spirit. We were there. Of course, we had some momentum. I know that his pressing is really good, but we break up. First half, Jeremy was top. Second half, Semenyo and Erling was much, much better. But all the team, the guys who came from the bench, good game and first step to reach the final.
It's now 2 goals in 2 games for Semenyo since his move from Bournemouth. He also had a goal ruled out after a 5.5-minute check. There was VAR drama when the teams met in the Premier League earlier this season, and Guardiola isn't happy both decisions went against his side.
Today, 4 people were not able to decide because the line was, I don't know, but the second goal, the Newcastle score, that was perfect. It was perfect, the line.
Newcastle boss Eddie Howe admits conceding a second goal in injury time makes it very tough to turn it around in 3 weeks' time.
It's a body blow for us, but not fatal at the moment. And we're still in there fighting. I think maybe a bit of naivety with a minute to go on the clock that we're still trying to chase a goal in that moment. We needed to defend. I thought the lads gave everything today under difficult circumstances with the extra time on Saturday. And there was a bit of fatigue in our performance, but I can't fault the players.
New Chelsea boss Lemar Senior wants the fans to leave Stamford Bridge tonight, knowing his side have given everything on the pitch. They take on Premier League leaders Arsenal in the first leg of their semi-final. Rosinier grew up in nearby Wandsworth and says he's aware of how much the team means to the fans.
Ken Bates bought this club for a pound, and people at this football club who still support this club were working so hard to keep this club going. And then to see the era with the trophies and Jose Mourinho, but that club was built and that success was built on hard work.
The new Chelsea boss also says Arsenal's success this season isn't solely down to set pieces.
Arsenal good at everything. They're good at everything. They're a good team. It's not about taking a game back in time. You have to manage your 1% to be as good a team to win as many different ways as possible. I respect them. I don't know who's calling them Set Piece FC. I'm definitely not.
Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta says they can use the League Cup as a launch pad for Premier League success this season. The Gunners have a 6-point lead at the top of the league. Arteta says in his experience, winning becomes a habit.
When you get to this stage in the competition, you get to the final and you get over the line and win it, it brings energy, it brings belief, and the sense that everybody is very important and playing part of that. So yeah, I think it's something, when you get there and win it, everybody remembers, and if not, nobody does. So once you get there, get the job done.
Arteta also believes his side is more efficient this season, with them still in the hunt for 4 trophies. The Gunners lost to Newcastle at the same stage last year.
Now we have to knock another big team out of the competition to be in the final, and that's the mission. Hopefully we learn from last year, because it was painful, especially the manner that the games went and the amount of chances that we missed not to go through.
Michael Carrick says there's still a lot to fight for this season, despite no European competition or cup football. It was confirmed last night that the former Manchester United midfielder will take charge until the end of the season. His first game is the Manchester Derby at Old Trafford on Saturday. United are 7th in the Premier League, but just 3 points off the top 4. Carrick won it all as a player with the club, including 5 Premier League titles and the Champions League. and he was part of the last United team to win the league in 2013.
It's an unbelievable football club, my favourite one in the world, and it has quite extremes at times. You know, the highs are high and the disappointments can be low, and that's why it's worth the success and the effort to try and get there, because when you get there, it means something. So massively driven to feel that and to help other people feel that.
Kieran Tierney believes Celtic are starting to heal with Martin O'Neill back in charge. The Scottish champions have the chance to move above Rangers into second place with a win at Falkirk tonight. Tierney says O'Neill and his assistant Sean Maloney have brought a feel-good factor back to the squad.
The first day we came back in and they were here, it was just like normal again, because we'd built up a good routine in the however many weeks they were there before, and we had good results, good momentum, and it just feels like we've picked up for there.
Elsewhere in the Scottish Premiership tonight, league leaders Hearts welcome St Mirren to Tynecastle. A win for Hearts would move them 6 points clear at the top. We're almost halfway through January and the transfers are starting to gather pace. Aston Villa forward Danielle Mallon is set to join Roma on loan with an obligation to buy at the end of the season. The Dutch forwards agreed personal terms with the Italian club and is set to end his 1 year stay with Villa. The overall package is worth €25 million. There's a €2 million loan fee. It remains to be seen what effect that'll have on Ireland international Evan Ferguson, who missed Roma's cup defeat to Torino last night due to injury. Conor Gallagher has completed his medical ahead of his move from Atletico Madrid to Tottenham. The former Chelsea midfielder has agreed a 5.5-year deal and the fee will be €40 million. It's been reported Manchester City are preparing to make an offer for Crystal Palace captain Mark Gahey before the end of the transfer window in January. However, it's unlikely City will meet Palace's asking price of above £35 million. The England international is out of contract in the summer, which means he'll be available on a free, and he'll also have a pick of the top clubs to choose from. Gahey was on the verge of moving to Liverpool in the summer, but that deal broke down on the final day of the transfer window. Bayern Munich and Arsenal have also been linked with Gahey. Manchester United don't plan on bringing back England forward Marcus Rashford when his loan spell at Barcelona ends. That's despite the departure of Ruben Amorim. Former Cork City goalkeeper David Harrington is set to leave Fleetwood and join Bolton in a permanent move that should go through in the next 24 hours. The 25-year-old from Cork will hope the move will increase his chances of getting into the Wales squad on a more regular basis. He's been called up to the Ireland under-21s and senior squad but has never been capped. In November 2024, he was included in the Welsh squad for the first time under Craig Bellamy. He qualifies for Wales through his dad, but he's still uncapped. Wales have a World Cup playoff semi-final at home to Bosnia-Herzegovina in March. The Africa Cup of Nations final pairing will be decided today. Host Morocco take on Nigeria at 8 o'clock. But before that, at 5 o'clock, it's Senegal against Egypt, where old Liverpool teammates Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah will go up against each other. On last night's football show, The Athletic's Carl Anka joined Owen Sheehan and explained why winning Africa's biggest football tournament is so important.
One of the big storylines, obviously, across this whole AFCON is, can Salah do it? It's not quite at the same level as Lionel Messi in the World Cup, but it's certainly a huge subplot here, in that Mohamed Salah should be the most talented slash most successful Egyptian football player of all time, but he's never won the African Cup of Nations. You know, Yaya Toure has spoken about how, because African nations are so unlikely to win the World Cup or make deep runs into the World Cup, having an African Cup of Nations trophy medal means so much more. You know, Didier Drogba has spoken about this all the time, about how he deeply regrets the fact that he retired and then the Ivory Coast won it in 2015. He's like, if I had hung on, would I have got one? Or did I need to step aside for them to win one? So this is a really interesting one, in that the squad Egypt have might be, and I'm really straining and like bulging my eyes here, might be the strongest Salah has. Obviously, they are really, really big geographical, political reasons as to why Egyptian football perhaps hasn't always been able to provide the best football team for Salah to go off and win AFCON. But he needs to do it. The problem is, this is also, I mean, this is one of Senegal's golden generations, right? And this is also perhaps the last time Senegal will have a chance as good as this to win another AFCON with these players. So, I mean, if it's any time for Egypt, they need to get it done now. But if there's any opponent they don't want to face, it is going to be Senegal. Most people, before a ball was kicked, said the AFCON final would be Senegal versus Morocco. And we're almost at that point, so we'll see.
And if you want to hear that chat back in full, you can do so now in your OTB football podcast feed. And Real Madrid will begin life under Alvaro Arbeloa tonight after the sacking of Xabi Alonso on Monday. Real take on Albacete in the last 16 of the Copa del Rey. Reports in Spain say that former Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp is one of the top candidates to replace Alonso. Antonio Conte and Enzo Maresca have also been mentioned. Spanish football journalist Graeme Hunter joined Owen Sheehan to explain how Madrid might look under Arbeloa.
Real Madrid now need an Ancelotti type more than ever at this juncture, even though all the success he's had at the club, it feels like he's the perfect fit to almost slot back into this.
And let me assure you that Alvaro Arbeloa, who in theory will be in charge at the end of the season, is a 180 degrees opposite man. if there was a further geometrical angle to use as an analogy, I would reach for it.
To Ancelotti or to Alonso?
To Ancelotti.
Right.
He's belligerent. He was never an Ancelotti class player. He hasn't won titles, European, international and domestic, at senior clubs. He's been relatively successful and looks promising in the Madrid Academy, where during a Madrid Atletico derby at youth level, not at first youth level, but second youth level, he got into a scrap with his fellow World Cup winning teammate, Fernando Torres, who was the coach of Atletico Madrid, went looking for him, went taunting him. Arbeloa is belligerent. He's abrasive. He can be short-tempered. He thinks that much more so than Alonso. He thinks that the Madrid badge is everything, and his ability to manage upwards. I'm not going to say that he's somebody who's fawned over the leadership around it, but he's been very astute at managing upwards, and therefore, and also he was a Spartan. He was a declared football ultra under Mourinho during the classical wars, when it was Mourinho versus Guardiola. There were few, if any, players who were more belligerent, more committed to the Mourinho cause than Arbeloa was. And as such, he fell out with Spain teammates, notably Gerard Pique. But the ultra fans and Florentino Perez loved it. Now, that's all very well. And he's reinstated the Italian fitness coach, Antonio Pintus, who's been a serial winner, particularly under Ancelotti, at Real Madrid and Chelsea. So maybe that has an impact, or maybe. But in terms of you saying they've never needed an Ancelotti-style or a Zidane-style figure more than they do now, is right, because bringing that group together means player whispering, superstar whispering, just being so clever about getting them on side without them even noticing, put their hands to the plough rather than getting the whip out and shouting at them.
And that's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.